Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We've got a lot of news to digest.
Yeah, in fact, just yesterday we saw the COVID-19 pandemic seemingly still weighing heavy on sentiment. And that was highlighted by the US Republicans unveiling their latest $1 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill. Plus gold is also in the news this morning.
Where is all this money coming from?
That's a good question.
Plus, this is all on the back of geopolitical tensions, which are still on the rise between the US and China. You would have seen those incredible shots outside the consulate, the US consulate in Chengdu, which is being shut down.
So with all this going on, I guess investors are wondering what's the best strategy to take. We get the opinion this morning of Vasu Menon, Executive Director Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, good morning. How have you been?
Very good morning to both of you. I've been good. Thank you.
That's good to hear.
Always good to hear your soothing tones, Vasu. I think we need to be soothed in these times. Now, let's talk about these COVID-19 infections. We're seeing a second wave in places like Hong Kong. In fact, Hong Kong may even be a third wave by this point.
Yeah.
Australia, some parts of Europe. What will be the impact then on the global economy? And we're talking about curves. I feel bad because Ryan's not here. He loves talking about growth curves and what they're going to look like. But Vasu, what's your view?
Well, our view is that, you know, COVID-19 is going to be a fixture. It's going to be in the minds of markets, investors for quite some time to come. It's not going to go away anytime soon. The second wave is playing out, not just in Hong Kong, but also in China and other parts of the world. And, you know, the question is whether it's going to be a big second wave. Hopefully not. If it is, then, you know, you see global growth forecast being taken down. You've already seen the International Monetary Fund reduce its growth forecast from -3% for this year to -4.9%. So if this continues, you know, they may take it down even further. Clearly, you know, a big second wave will not be good news for the global economy. It means more restrictions, more shutdowns. As you see in Hong Kong right now, you know, they've tightened the noose, you know, and that's going to be bad news for the global economy. But I think as long as the second wave is not a big one, I think the markets have sort of discounted it, internalize it, but if it becomes widespread, you know, more countries do what Hong Kong did, and it's a big second wave, then I think that's not priced in and the markets will recalibrate.
You know, a lot of people keep asking, what's the recovery shape? What's the recovery shape? Eventually, the standard answer will be out of shape. Vasu, let's talk about this U.S. COVID-19 relief plan. Republicans have unveiled major parts of it in the new plan. Unemployment benefits will be cut by nearly half. Do you expect this to provide a sort of boost to the markets if it gets the go-ahead by Congress?
Well, if it gets the go-ahead by Congress, it will provide a backstop. I don't know whether it's going to provide a big boost. I mean, $1 trillion is not something the Democrats want. Mm. The Democrats are looking for something bigger. They're looking for $3 trillion.
Yeah.
The Republicans have offered $1 trillion. They've cut the enhanced unemployment benefits from $600 a week to, you know, to $200 a week, something that's not going to be easily digested by the Democrats.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a pushback. There'll be negotiations. And that's going to create some nervousness in the markets. But eventually, I think they'll agree. And, you know, I mean, this is really a backstop. It's a relief measure. It need not necessarily boost the economy. It just provides some relief. And it'll run out in time to come as well. And question here is, how long will COVID-19 drag out? Because governments will eventually run out of money. I mean, they can't keep spending money the way they've been doing. You can't keep announcing trillion-dollar packages over and over again. So we're all hoping that COVID-19 will come to pass fairly soon.
Hadn't you heard, Vasu, money grows on trees. Grows on trees. Don't we wish? So let's talk about these US-China tensions and all the uncertainty around that story. Is it a good time for investors to invest now, or is it best to hold off until better times, whenever they will be?
Well, you know, our view is that investors should stay invested. What I mean by that is, you know, make sure that you have some investments in the market, but don't fire all your bullets, you know, invest gradually over time. Adopt a dollar cost averaging strategy, perhaps put money in over the next 12 months, 15 months. But you have to stay invested because the problem is if a vaccine is discovered or, you know, the second wave doesn't appear to be as significant, if earnings turn out to be better than expected, if economic data surprises the upside, then the markets will continue to hit higher. I mean, look at what's happening to the tech sector. Last night, tech stocks did exceptionally well, despite the fact that they've already done so well. So you can't take your foot off the pedal. I think you just have to go slow and continue investing in the markets, but invest gradually. And that's one way to manage risk in volatile times like this.
Vasu, I got a good one for you. So you've got Warren Buffett, who has been quite vocal about his disdain for gold as an investment, right? And I bring that up because gold hit new record highs yesterday. It climbed past the 1,900 an ounce. That one, I believe, was set in 2011 or so. What is your opinion on gold as an investment strategy? How soon might it reach the psychological target of 2,000? And is it also a sort of a subtle warning because more people are flocking to safe haven, meaning more people are afraid in that sense?
Definitely, you know, I think gold is emerging as a distinct asset class on its own. I mean, it's not just about uncertainty. Of course, uncertainty is driving gold as well, but it's also emerging as a distinct asset class. And we've been positive on gold. When gold was $1,400 an ounce, we were saying that, you know, gold could hit to $1,800, $1,900, and it's bearing out. I mean, you know, gold has appreciated 27% so far this year. Equities are down 3%. Bonds are up about 5%. So gold has really done exceptionally well. And we think that, you know, investors should have gold in their portfolio. Uncertainty is one factor. The ultra-low interest rates that's going to persist for many, many years is another factor. The weak U.S. dollar is a third factor. And, of course, a fourth factor is that central banks around the world are de-dollarizing their portfolios. In other words, they are changing the composition of the reserves away from U.S. dollar towards gold, you know. So gold has strong demand both from individuals and institutions. And, you know, you want to make sure you have some gold in your portfolio also as an insurance policy, given all the uncertainties, you know, in the horizon.
Yeah. Well, with this stock market the way it is, I wonder whether people are sort of taking their eye off the ball. Anyway, speaking about eyes on the ball, lots happening this week that could affect markets. Vasu, you've got second quarter earnings, still a ton of them to come out in the US. The FOMC meeting, that begins today. We've got US second quarter GDP, a first read. Very quickly, if you don't mind, wrap up what we need to watch out for.
Well, those are the key things. I mean, the earnings are a key factor. The U.S. second quarter GDP numbers are another factor. We've also got the PMI numbers coming out of China. That will take place, I believe, on Thursday. U.S. PMI numbers as well. So lots of economic data, lots of earnings data. Expect lots of volatility in the markets as well. But if some of this data turn out to be better than expected, you know, that will provide some kind of a backstop for the markets. Bear in mind, there's a huge amount of liquidity in the sidelines. So you'll have good news and bad news. Use drawdowns in the markets as an opportunity to buy gradually, as I said.
Thank God it's a short work week. That's all I can say to it. Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you as always for taking the time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.